Now, this is weird. I have done some freaky shit.
Hey, boys, I have a headache.
That makes absolutely no goddamn sense whatsoever.
Movies in the Buff.
Hello, and welcome to Movies in the Buff, where we strip down, objectify, and thoroughly violate your favorite movies. Here are your hosts and the team of debauchery. We have Carl.
People keep forgetting, it's not the dragons that you try to placate with a virgin sacrifice, it's the dragon slayers.
And the lovely Lisa.
Even horses can be cowards.
I think I remember that, actually.
I do.
Okay, and if you haven't guessed by now, we are doing Dragonheart in the Buff. In an ancient time when majestic fire breathers soared through the skies, a knight named Bowen, played by Dennis Quaid, comes face to face and heart to heart with the last dragon. Okay, now I'm never going to get that song out of my head. Now I'm seeing Mannequin Heart.
Okay.
Anyway, heart to heart with the last dragon on Earth. Draco, voiced by Sean Connery, taking up arms to suppress a tyrant king, Bowen, soon realizes that his task will be harder than he'd imagine. If he kills the king, Draco will die as well. Rob Cohen directs this heroic adventure that boasts amazing special effects. And to get us started, we'll start with our buffing at 6 degrees, where I take an actor from the movie we were reviewing tonight and the movie we reviewed last week. And
God,
you have to connect
tongue.
Them. And you have to connect them in 6 movies or less. You can do this by posting on our Facebook, Google+, or emailing us. Our actors are Sean Connery and Tracy Lords. And just to let y'all know, I actually did this in 2 while I was typing it out.
Yeah, Rod, you kind of slacked off on the 6 degrees today.
I really did. I did. I thought it was a really good one, and then I thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. That was your first problem right there. You thought.
Well, that's always my problem. But,
I still love this movie. This movie is always good.
The funny part is, I didn't remember much about this movie. I remembered Sean Connery played a dragon, and that was about it. Now, in all fairness, I was in like 5th grade when I saw this movie last.
So. That was when it came out, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it was right after it came out, I saw it. But the opening scene.
Yeah. Up until the movie started playing, uh-huh. I actually didn't realize that I'd seen the movie. And then it starts playing, and I went, because you see the young king learning sword, or the young prince, sorry, learning sword work from his knight. I thought, and I looked at Carl and went, hey, is this the one where the Sean Connery is the voice of the dragon? I had seen the movie.
That's funny. That is,
And one thing I always forget, though, is that Dina Meyer is in this movie.
Yeah,
I always forget that.
That was weird when I saw her, because I was like, that's the chick who took her top off in Starship Troopers, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm like, I saw her name in the credits, and I was like, she's in this? And I thought about it, I'm like, okay, if she's in this, I think I know who she is. But I did not know that she... I had never known or realized that she was in this and had never connected it, you know, the character that she plays here with any of her other characters.
She's really young.
Carl had to connect the character mm-hmm. for me. Carl had to connect me to the other movie for me.
Mm-hmm.
He says, you know who that is, right? I said, no, why? He says, that's Dizzy. Yep. Oh, I know who that is now.
The character who went... you know, into a movie from a book where he was changed into a she and given a part longer than, you know, 3 paragraphs.
Yeah, well.
Anyway, we won't go into it.
Not until we review Starship Troopers.
Yeah. Exactly.
And actually not all that young, surprisingly enough.
How old is she?
She was born in 1968, so she was 28. Yeah, she was 28 when she did this movie.
Wow.
Wow.
How old is she now?
She was born in 1968, so...
Sorry.
44?
Wow.
She just turned 44.
44, and I still wouldn't think twice before jumping into bed with her.
I take that back. She just turned 43. She was born in December.
Either way.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't all middle-aged women look that good?
No joke.
Anyway, I'm sorry. I really should not have said that, huh?
If you have the money to pamper yourself, please do so, ladies.
I know, she is one of the more realistic people, though, in Hollywood. If, you know, physically, in her physical appearance. Whether or not it's true that she is, but from appearance, she looks like one of the more realistic people.
From everything that I know about her, and I'm one of her Twitter followers, and I dig around into her every once in a while. But, wow, that just really sounded wrong.
Carl, God, I wish. Throw something at you?
Lisa, were you aware of this?
No, actually. That's why I just asked if I needed to throw something at him.
Yeah, because apparently if I've been doing that, I haven't been sharing. But come on, Tina Meyer, who would?
Well, it depends.
No, as far as I know, everything there is true. Oh, she's throwing USB chargers at me.
That's what you get for leaving them laying in her reach. But,
that one was actually supposed to be charging our old electronic cigarette.
Yeah.
Okay, so who else? I mean, I watched Undercover Blues. I watched Day After Tomorrow. I've seen Dennis Quaid in some relatively action-oriented, even combat roles. But who else was a little shocked at the Dennis Quaid sword fighter?
It worked.
That took me aback. I mean, it did work, but I would have never expected that.
I always forget he's in Day After Tomorrow.
I know. I do too, actually.
He's one of those actors that I know him when I see him, but I never remember what he's in.
Refresh my memory. Who was he in the Day After... Which character did he play in Day After Tomorrow?
He's the main character, the dad, the weather...
The one that I got confused with, the guy who played in The Patriot.
Possibly.
Older guy.
Hmm.
You know the guy who does the Allstate commercials?
The black guy?
Yeah, I just found a picture of him with Dennis Quaid, and I'm not really sure who he is other than the guy that does the Allstate commercials.
I have no idea, but...
I don't know either. I'm getting off topic. I was actually looking to find out, because I think, if I'm not mistaken, Dennis Quaid has some martial arts background. Traditional Western rather than, or I'm sorry, traditional Eastern rather than the Western martial arts that would be necessary for a sword technique, but.
I did notice that almost all of the, choreographed, combat scenes in this movie were really well done, and the unchoreographed ones were really bad.
Yes, you could definitely tell a difference.
Yeah. But no. And then, you know, you start off with this movie and I don't know if it's the fact that I'd seen it, that I'd, you know, seen it a couple of times or what, but that opening scene to the movie shows you the entire plot of the movie. And it's the whole point of this movie is how people, see what they want to see and don't see what they don't want to see.
Yeah.
'Cause right away you see that, you know, the prince is a jackass. And it takes Quaid, what, 3/4 of the movie to realize it?
Yeah. No, I agree. I saw something here that was actually interesting importance, and I lost it, so I guess it wasn't that important. But, yeah, and the sword fighting throughout the movie was really, really good, but nothing to me was as good as this very first scene. I know that sounds really weird, but just the wooden sword, you know, combat scene. And I guess this is just a theme with me when I see this in movies. Even in the movie Troy, you see them fighting with the wooden swords at the beginning, and that was my favorite combat scene in the whole movie.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, and it's just because that's when, you know, when they're practicing, they're really pushing their techniques and everything, and a good director will show that in a practice scene rather than, you know, you've got your 80s montage scenes where you're – anyway. Yeah.
At least we didn't have one of those.
Let's move to another decade.
Here. We're finally in the 90s. But – and then my next note is, look, that guy. Which was a common thing that I said throughout watching this movie. Look, it's that guy.
Yeah.
Which one are you referring to?
In this case, the guy that played Jason Isaacs, that played
Lord Felton.
He did play Lord Felton.
I don't think I ever caught any of the characters' names, so you may want to help
Lord
clarify
Felton
that.
Is the stingy one that refuses to pay him. That refuses to pay Bowen.
The funny guy that came with his pants open. Got it.
I was trying to think of the character that he played in Harry Potter.
Lucius Malfoy.
Lucius Malfoy. Okay. And once again, fans, if you didn't know, if you didn't see a previous episode,
Ever ask Rod Harry Potter questions.
I happened to look up that he was in Harry Potter before we started recording, but.
Yeah, that's about as close as he's ever gotten to Harry Potter is, hey, that guy was in it.
No, I saw the first movie and read the first book. After that, I decided I wasn't going to read or watch anymore.
Yeah, that's because you're a moron sometimes.
No, I just don't think that I need to go through, more than that to discover that I like a series. Mm. But anyways, then we have the battle scene. Battle, quote unquote, scene. Uh-huh.
Again, unscripted or choreographed fighting good, unchoreographed fighting terrible.
Exactly.
Yeah, even I noticed the parts that were choreographed. And I don't look for that when I watch movies.
I have to say, though, this was definitely an interesting take on the ambush strategy.
Mm-hmm.
That you don't see, I've read about it several times, the same ambush scene happening, but I cannot remember a single movie I've seen this in.
That particular ambush strategy?
Yeah, where they lure them into the town as if it's going to be a cakewalk, and then...
Yeah, I've seen it before.
I've read it in books, too.
Yeah, I can't think of any specific examples, but I know I've seen it.
See, that's the thing. I read it all the time, but I don't remember ever seeing it in a movie.
Okay. Listeners, feel free to email us in with examples that aren't coming to the top of our heads right now.
Exactly. And of course, as per usual, email, Facebook, Google+, all of that will be posted at the end of the episode.
I will say that for a king, he was pretty stupid. I don't care who you are. You do not go into any place that looks like a cakewalk by yourself.
Mm-hmm. I kind of got it. He was trying to chase down his enemy, and I got it.
Well, he wasn't even chasing down an enemy.
All he was doing was setting houses on
fire. Right, that's right.
Yeah, he was sealing his victory by burning down the village.
Yeah. And it was basically showing
that more of a slaughter.
It was basically showing how much of a dick the king is.
Yeah, and how much of a dick his son is.
Yeah.
Die, it's mine!
Yeah, that was, I don't know, that was a little...
That scene let you know right there what kind of son... If you didn't catch it in the first scene, that scene right there let you know what his son was actually like.
Yep.
The apple did not fall far from that tree.
Yeah, and then the chick falls off the ladder and bumps him into...
Falls out of the building, yeah.
Some kind of a wooden stake that was sticking out of the wall, but I couldn't figure out what it was.
It was a, like a fencing or a...
Yeah.
Gating, but it was where the...
It latched.
It was where the posts interlocked. Like the beams for the fencing. Interlocked on that corner post because, they didn't use nails. Uh-huh. So it was just drilled through and you shoved the end of it in there. And that's what happened is the end of that stake was sticking out and it slammed right into his chest.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, here's what I'm trying to figure out.
She had to have fallen pretty hard, though, still.
Well, she fell out of off the second-story window.
What I was trying to figure out about it is he was, in fact, stabbed in the heart, hence the reason the dragon had to replace his heart, correct?
He was stabbed. I don't know that it actually hit his heart or if it just, and I know it, obviously it didn't hit it, it didn't rupture his heart, but it may have punctured it.
See, and I'm just thinking, heart shots, he lived a long
normally
time
kill
with
people.
Heart shot.
He did live an awful long time having taken a blow to the heart. But had it just been, just the very tip of it pierced his heart, then it's entirely plausible that he would have lived for a while. Probably not that long, but...
Yeah, that's a little excessive.
It was.
Given the rate of that the heart beats blood, piercing even one ventricle, it wouldn't take that long to bleed out.
Yeah. Unless,
I'm sure he wouldn't have lived to get to the dragon. Maybe to his mother, but not to the dragon too.
But again, you know, if it's a really small, the head of a pencil sized hole, then, you know, there's not much place for it to leak out of.
Well, I'm looking at the head of a pin, which isn't much bigger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's still a pretty big sized hole for a heart.
But anyway, they get to the dragon's cave, which was one of the most cliche scenes I think I've ever seen.
I don't know. I kind of liked it. What I really found interesting was the lengths that they went to not show him.
Yeah.
Not show the dragon at the beginning of this. And yeah, I'll get to that. I'll get to why I think they did that later. But I kind of was a little in awe of the lengths that they went to not show him real well.
Well, out of all of this, the one thing that stuck in my mind in this entire scene is that he calls the queen daughter of the Celts.
Uh-huh.
Which, okay, well and good. You know, obviously she is not a Celt. She does not look like a Celt. There's nothing about her that screams to me Celt. But
but he also called her something else.
Well, the
point... He called her by name.
Yeah, he called her by
name. No, I was referring to he called her the wife of the Dragon Slayer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the point I'm trying to make on this is, you know, at this time and prior to this time, Celts were used in several movies, including Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Mm-hmm.
But no one really did any research on them. And no one really knew what they were. I mean, and that shows a difference between movies prior to, you know, internet being common in the home and movies post-internet being common in the home.
I don't have a problem with it. I just accept the fact that, A, we are in a, this is a mythological version of our world.
True.
Obviously dragons exist. Avalon exists, as we see later.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's the whole, essentially the story that you kind of get as it's all subtext and very little of it is, you know, even if it's mentioned, it's mentioned sidelong.
Uh-huh.
But the story that I get is that she was captured and essentially taken as a wife by the former king during one of his wars of conquest against the Celts and all of this is taking place during the, basically the turmoil, that, surrounded the, end of the Arthurian reign.
Okay.
And so I kind of buy that.
Okay. I kind of see it.
Yeah, you're still in that Christian versus Celtic struggle at that point in history.
Uh-huh.
And so I still kind of buy that.
Okay, I kind of
at least from a fantasy standpoint.
Now it makes a little more sense to me why when he captures the girl Dina Meyer later, he tries to take her as his wife. That makes a little more sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, now the one thing that stood out to me in this scene of them with the dragon is sometimes compassion is a mistake.
Yeah. As we learn in this movie over and over and over.
Yeah.
But,
they pretty much beat us over the head with that.
Yeah, I gotta quote a Jim Carrey line here. Nice dragon. Bad judge of character.
What is that one?
That's from How the Grinch Stole Christmas. Nice girl.
Oh, bad judge of character.
Okay, so we go from there, and we go into the, we'll build a castle thing. He opens up the quarry, which, okay, I'll accept that. Nothing important.
he's using, you know, his political prisoners.
Yeah. Which is a common...
Who in the world doesn't do that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Not very common in the modern world anymore. Well, I say that.
Not in the first world, anyway. How's that?
But anyway, you go through that, and then you see Bowen trying to appeal to the king, trying to change his mind about things.
Mm-hmm. And needing so badly to believe that he didn't fail.
Yeah. And that was, to me, now maybe I'm wrong about this, but to me that was the one scene in this movie where Dennis Quaid really just overacted it.
Yeah. And
I mean, I get where he was going for it, but I just think he overdid it.
Yeah, and that scene to me is the weakest in the movie. Yeah. It really is the weakest scene in the movie. I don't think it's simply because he overacted, but I think that there was so much, I think there was more things that they were trying to get across in that scene than they were able to get across because they couldn't articulate them in the script.
Yeah. And
therefore the actors couldn't articulate or couldn't figure them out.
And he goes back and he tries to, curse the dragon. And
and by the way, since this, I think, is one of the... Oh, no, this... We don't see him yet. Never mind.
No. But one thing that bothered me, and I tried to figure out this out through the whole movie, why did he blame the dragon?
Because he didn't start... Because the prince didn't start acting like this.
Uh-huh.
Where...
Bowen in his eyes.
Until after he got the dragon's heart.
Okay.
In his eyes.
Right.
The audience sees him acting like this, but in Dennis Quaid's eyes, he did not act like that until he got the heart.
Right.
Fair enough. Excuse me.
And because, if he didn't, then there wouldn't be a movie.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the easy answer there.
Yeah. But, and then time moves forward and you get the, what I put in as Enter the Dragon Hunter.
Mm-hmm. And the priest.
And the priest. But first you see the, Dennis Quaid dragon hunter.
No, actually, first you see the priest, and then you see the dragon.
You see the priest?
You see the, because it's...
Yeah, the priest goes...
The priest is doing his Avalon poem, the dragon flies over his head, and then Dennis Quaid comes up over the hill.
Well, okay.
Actually, the donkey bucks the priest off, and then the dragon flies.
Yeah.
Because you have that one quote that the priest does. Everyone's a critic.
Yep.
Okay, fair enough. And the priest. What cracks me up about the priest, and I don't know if it was just me or, my particular watching experience, but every time anyone said his name, I could not understand it. I didn't know his name. And it's such a simple one. Brother Gilbert.
Gilbert, I got. It was the Glockenspur I never caught.
Was that why I couldn't understand it?
Yeah, he says he's Gilbert of Glockenspur is how he introduces himself to Bronn.
So from there on out in my notes, I put him in as Brother Bless You. Because every time he said his name, I thought somebody was sneezing.
And I just got to say, Pete Postlethwaite plays an excellent priest.
He does. He does. Like,
everything I can think of him being in, he's playing a... priest or a monk or, a Catholic holy person of some kind, and he's always great at it.
Yeah.
He was probably my favorite, actually he was my favorite adult character in Romeo and Juliet.
Well, okay. In all fairness, the priest was probably my favorite adult character in the play before I ever saw the movie. Yeah. So.
But he does a really good job of that, and he does a really good job of it here.
And then you get to see the priest chase down the dragon hunter. And is it just me, but at this scene, not only is he funny, but he's not very bright.
Oh, yeah.
Not only that, I actually put it in my notes to make a point of this. During this scene, when he runs up there and, everything's going on around him with the dragon and the dragon hunter and all the things happen in this fight, step outside of yourself and put your mind in the priest.
Mm-hmm.
Like, imagine what the priest thought. Or the monk thought, I should say.
Right.
Well, Well, with me, it would have been duck and cover. But the priest didn't do that.
See, to me, my first thought would be, I need a new pair of underwear.
Yeah.
That too.
But,
He climbs up on the head of the dragon and starts poking his pin into the dragon's forehead.
Oh, this
dragon
is,
opens his eyes, or well, at least one eye that we can see, and it's like, dude, are you that much of an idiot that you don't see an eyeball open up?
I don't think he wasn't looking.
Yeah, he wasn't paying any
attention.
He was
looking at his pin. He was looking at his pin.
Yeah, and you can't, because of the dragon's brow ridges, he couldn't see it from up there, because you're seeing it from the side, and he's looking at it from straight down. You can't see it. But no. Before we even get to that point, though, where you meet up with Draco, we get to the point where, okay, and I've got to say it, because it's the first time that you see him, that you see the adult Aynan. David Thewlis. Great werewolf.
Not so
bad.
Great.
King. Terrible archer.
Okay, wait a minute. You just said werewolf.
How are you figuring he's a terrible? Yeah, he played in
David
Harry Potter.
He plays the werewolf in the Harry Potter series.
Okay, so the guy's last name Lupin is a reference to the fact that he is a werewolf.
Yes. Well, he.
Yes.
His name was Remus Lupin, and then he became a werewolf. But yes.
Remus, how cheesy can you get?
There's a certain amount of cheese to the naming conventions in the Harry Potter universe. I grant you that.
Wow.
Professor Snape looks like he's head of
Slytherin, who is a snake. Yeah. But,
okay, fair enough. Anyway, keep going.
But yeah, he's great now. As Remus Lupin,
Definitely grew into that schnoz.
Yeah, he definitely grew into his nose. Dear God. But in this role, he was always right on the edge of overacting, if not across it. And for supposedly playing such a great archer, you know, as we see when he starts doing his archery in the quarry, did you watch him handle the bow?
Yeah.
Oh my God. You couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. You couldn't hit Oprah holding a bow like that at 50 paces.
Sorry,
Oprah.
The 1-star reviews from Oprah.
Yeah. The second clip on IMDb is the clip of him doing his archery and handling the bow. No, I completely agree with that. And back to the whole snots thing. Did anybody else picture him saying something to the extent of, "You've reached the Dragon Kingdom psychic hotline"?
Oh, and also, David Thewlis, much better as a brunette than a blonde. I don't know if that was age or what that was, but he looks really bad as a blonde in this movie.
Yes.
I thought his hair was supposed to be red.
Maybe a strawberry
blonde. It's
darker blonde,
than what it's darker than what it is in this movie.
Okay.
Yeah, like now he's, you know, almost like dark brown on the edge of black. So I don't know if that was a wig or what, but he looks really terrible with that hair.
Okay, I'm trying to remember what was said at this point that it made me put this in my notes. But when Draco's first introduced, he makes like one or more really bad puns.
Makes one or more really bad puns.
I don't remember what they were now.
He does make a couple, but I don't remember them either.
But I actually posted it in my notes that bad puns are still awesome in Sean Connery's voice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, we'll have to give you that one.
And then, you know, we've got the whole Draco and Bowen, who I keep trying to call Braun for some reason. And I know that's the wrong movie and the wrong
character. That's even the wrong movie.
Yeah, and I know who that is. It took me forever to figure out who it was. Who Braun was, but anyway. Braun is
Aragorn.
Yeah, it's from Aragorn.
Okay.
But anyway, we've got the scene with Draco and Bowen and Brother Gilbert at the waterfall, and all that effort to conceal Sean Connery. For a pretty decent payoff when he flies through that waterfall.
True, but I just have to point out that the scene they use at this point where he's going into the waterfall and his tail's kind of switching back and forth, they use that at least 5 times throughout the movie, that exact same scene.
I know they used
it.
They just
pasted it back over.
I remember it twice. I don't remember it more than that.
I may be exaggerating slightly with the 5 times, but there were at least 3.
I do remember it twice.
Because they use it there, and then they use it when...
Kayla, or whatever her name was.
Kara. And then, yeah, they use it when the prince shows up, or when the king shows up.
Anyway.
In the scene with Kara.
The point is they like don't even go through the effort of changing anything about the scene. They just... It's like copied and pasted it over.
Yeah, but it's a quick scene. It's not...
Yeah.
Not worth it to reshoot it a different way.
Fair enough.
Okay, who enjoyed the grass skiing?
Oh, with him on the with him on the saddle after he bolos Draco. Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was actually pretty good.
And I don't remember, and I was writing something down when it happened. How exactly did he get the saddle off the horse again?
Something snapped.
Oh, the girth strap snapped.
Yeah.
Okay.
Here's what I'm trying to figure out.
Mm.
He says, you know, several times over that he's the last one till he convinces Bowen of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's the last dragon. How does he know?
He's the last dragon that he knows of.
Okay.
As we actually do find out later in the sequel that he wasn't actually the last dragon. He was the last dragon in that part of the world.
Okay. And that brings up another question. If he's running for his life, why did he stay in an area that he knew for a fact he would be hunted?
Meaning,
you know, he can fly. He can go anywhere he wants to in the world.
Well, anywhere he wants to in the world, he's probably going to be hunted.
There are places,
but...
Okay, go to the Alps.
And again, it's that actually is addressed. The few places that he can go where he wouldn't be hunted would be, you know, completely isolated from men. And, you know, he is descended of the dragons who made the oath to watch over man. So in order to go someplace where he wouldn't be hunted, he would be breaking his vow.
Okay, got it.
And, you know, he doesn't want to leave, you know, the other half of his heart.
True. That is true.
He wants to make up for that.
Yeah.
So after
find
this...
out later in the movie.
After this actually relatively awesome fight scene for 1996 between a dragon and a knight, he does this whole snake dislodging his mouth thing, which made me think of this girl that I used to date. No, I'm sorry.
No, let's not hear about your past dreams.
In all honesty, it actually made me a little nauseous to see this happen, but, and you know, they do the whole knight in the mouth stalemate. Which to me was just kind of ridiculous.
It was kind of funny.
Kind of funny.
It was funny, but a little ridiculous.
Kind of funny, but by the time they were done with it, it was played out, you know, and I was getting annoyed by it.
It didn't last all that long.
That's kind of my point.
It was supposed to have lasted a day and a night. Come on.
Well, it lasted the rest of the evening and into the night.
I did like the line.
Even the priest was yawning.
Mm-hmm.
I did like the line that I can go for 3 nights without sleep. I can go for 3 weeks.
Uh-huh.
I did love
that. I will stab you before I nod off.
Yep.
But, anyway, then to me, not a whole lot happens in between that and when they're having the conversation about the Knight's Code.
Mm-hmm. Well, you have the start of the whole Dragon Con, which I thought was pretty good.
What do you mean?
Yeah, that con was pretty good.
Where Bowen and Draco start pulling cons.
First firebombs, first cannons.
Yeah, that was good, and I thought it was really well done, and it's just one of those really good ideas for both of them. What I'm trying to figure out is how things got to a point where they come into this relationship.
It was his idea.
I got all that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just how many things had to get really weird for this relationship to happen the way it did.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, really think about that. Do you ever think that both either of them or both of them at some point are thinking, how the hell did I get here?
Yeah.
But,
I'm sure there's days when even we say, how did I get here? And we don't have a relationship with a dragon.
And then we've got, yourself. After you start seeing after you see the con work the first time, mm-hmm. You've got that campfire scene, which I have down in my notes is this whole scene, these whole two scenes is dragons keep secrets and Einan fails at seduction. Cause good God, that was a terrible scene.
I'm trying to remember what you're talking about. Seduction.
That's the one where Einan, tells Kara that he's going to take her as a wife. And he's like, so teach me mercy. I was like, it's terrible.
You know what these two scenes I have in my notes?
Yeah, even I wouldn't have fallen for that. I was so glad she was smart.
Hmm.
In my notes, I have these two scenes as Knight of the Jedi Code and worst assassination attempt ever.
Yeah.
I have it down as Loch Ness Monster and even this king doesn't rape.
Yeah.
Because he never raped her.
Yeah.
True. But no, it really was. She comes off that.
Seduction, but he didn't rape her.
She comes off of that stairwell in some weird little hop, screaming the whole way down. Of course he saw her coming.
Well, he saw her coming by chance. Her, and, but, yeah.
But which,
he would have had plenty of time to move with her screaming, though.
Eh, maybe, maybe not. Like, but what she was doing, I think, was she jumped off a window. That was a windowsill, wasn't it?
No, it was a stairwell.
I thought she came in through a window. And then jumped off the windowsill onto his back.
I think she did come in through a window, but she walked down the stairwell a little bit.
Mm. Okay, the next scene I have in my notes is secret caves in AD with a question mark.
Oh, I've got Mama's escape attempt.
Yeah, same scene.
Yeah, where she takes her out through the sewers.
Yeah. And did anybody notice those doors were on rollers?
Yeah.
See, and
that just seems really, really well advanced for AD.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah, it works.
Now, see, I hate to say it. I have nothing to say here because I got distracted during this scene and I did not have the time to rewind it and watch it again.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I actually, Ireland started messing with something. I got distracted. And so I didn't actually see this scene.
So that's why you didn't pick up on it when the mother says, I won't have what happened to me happen to you. Or something along those lines.
Yeah, I didn't quite catch all that.
Yeah.
That's what she said when Kara asked her why she was helping her escape.
Okay, so that's okay. All of this makes sense now. I missed one little scene through the whole movie and lose an entire backstory line.
And then, you know, she goes back to her village and starts trying to rally the troops. And, Bowen and...
Tell me that's not stupid.
And Bowen comes in to start off the con, working the con there. And we see what I have down as the ugliest triplets in movie history.
Yeah, those were not very attractive women.
No, they weren't.
I don't think they were triplets, though.
They were all the same height, and they all looked very, very similar, and they were all the daughters of this guy.
The one on the far right was about 6 inches shorter.
Yeah, well, they were close enough. They looked close enough alike that they could have been triplets, but good God, those were some ugly girls. One-star reviews from the girls who played the triplets.
Yep. By the time we're said and done, just because we've offended everybody, we're going to have all one-star reviews watch.
Hey, we don't have any reviews yet, so that's I'd be happy with even some one-stars.
Watch, by the time this airs, we'll have several reviews. Anyway, not the point. I completely lost my place in my notes. Yeah.
Okay, and then we have where they go to where the guys are, the village people are deciding to have meat.
No. That's a ways away. First, we've got, you know, their whole trying to placate the dragon by giving her Kara, or by giving him Kara. And then he, like...
Well, that's true. That is kind of funny.
He takes off with Kara and then completely forgets to come back. Oops. I was a little distracted.
Well, okay. I'm sorry. I'm going to go back a little bit because there's a scene at the campfire where they're talking and Kara actually is able to stab the king.
Mm-hmm.
And the dragon, flips out. And that's
right as he's about to tell his name, yeah.
And that's when you find out why, when the king gets hurt, the dragon gets hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually wrote this in my note as, I'm coming to see you, Elizabeth. Because that's what it made me think of. The dragon grabs his arm and it made me think of Red Fox. I'm coming to see you, Elizabeth.
Okay.
You know there's somebody listening right now that's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's not me.
Oh, well, fair enough. Anyway.
I can see Rod's point, though.
Yeah. And,
Don't ever show it to me again.
I also love the, when he's telling him, back to what we were talking about, when he's telling him that he's going to
sacrifice her. Oh, yeah, that he doesn't eat people. Yeah, he's like, that's disgusting.
You ate so-and-so, I don't remember who the guy was. It's like, I merely chewed in self-defense.
Yep.
I didn't swallow.
Yeah, I've got
I thought it was Bill Clinton.
Oh.
Which I think, considering the timing of this movie, I think actually is... I think that was actually written intentionally to get those kind of laughs.
But, she's arguing with them in the town, and you get the classic Dennis Quaid, that's funny face.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
When he starts randomly laughing at something.
Mm-hmm.
But,
well, in this case, he didn't actually laugh at first. He just kind of looked at the guys as if to say, see?
Oh, you're talking about in the pig farmer's village, the next one.
When she's trying to out him?
Yeah, when she tries to out him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do love that face. The, yeah, okay. You're going to buy it? Are you going to listen to any of this?
Yeah. But, anyway, and then, you know,
they've mentioned several times.
Go ahead.
They've mentioned at least twice about the Arthur. My question is, for anybody who can answer it, is King Arthur real or a legend?
There's debate about that still. Most of the legends are legends, but there's debate about what the fact behind the legend is.
And that's only been a recent thing, like within the last 10 to 15 years that they've uncovered that he may have actually existed.
Yeah.
It was just a poem, like Beowulf.
Yeah. Well, they've always suspected that there was some truth behind the legends, but and every few years they come up with something. But so far as I know, most of it's legend, and they're still arguing over what the facts are.
Yeah.
And before we even get to the pig farmers,
mm-hmm.
that's when Bowen finally learns the truth that, yeah, his king really was always this screwed up.
Yeah, when the king comes up after Kara in the waterfall scene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and
you have found my bride that was I had lost.
Looks
I
like she wants to stay lost.
And as great as this scene was, the one thing I noticed, and this is just my twisted mind at work here. But mm-hmm. the one thing that I noticed was when they get into the fight, the way that Dennis Quaid draws his sword is because he draws it as an attack,
mm-hmm.
which is a primarily Western martial arts style.
Yeah, well, they're imitating Western martial arts.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant Eastern martial arts style. In fact, it's actually primarily a samurai style of attack, is to draw your weapon and attack.
There's some. I'll debate that.
I offer a bit of advice there.
Yes, it's used as an. Yes, it is a. It is an Eastern attack, but it's also, you know, how many people could independently come up with that? You know what I mean?
True.
I wouldn't have noticed it.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, you know, could have sprung up independently all around the world just because it makes sense.
I did notice one thing, though, during that fight scene.
Hmm.
The dragon hunter
mm-hmm.
wasn't actually fighting to kill the king.
Right.
But the king was fighting to kill the dragon hunter.
Yes. Yeah. Einan was definitely trying to kill Bowen, and Bowen was definitely not trying to kill Einan.
Yeah.
And then Draco scares him off
uh-huh.
to keep him from killing Bowen.
which was their downfall. Yeah. But
anyway, then we get through the whole scene with the pig, with the hungry pig farmers. And can I just say that when practicing a really good con, uh-huh, you should probably try to check for, you know, things that could go wrong. And checking the water depth strikes me as one of those things that you might want to check.
Yes, otherwise you might become food.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was.
Of course, I could think of worse things to eat than dragon or pig. Mm. In that scene, it gave it away clearly.
See, dang it! Now you've got that song from Pete's Dragon going through my head again.
Would you rather have Pete's Dragon going through your head or Little Priest from Sweeney Todd?
Fair enough.
You've had the song from Pete's Dragon going through your head since we finished recording Crybaby.
Periodically. Like, it doesn't happen all the time, but whenever, especially when the discussion starts up about dragons and you start talking about parts of dragon or eating dragons, then that song starts going through my head. And it has to do with the fact that I saw it several times when I was a kid.
See, I didn't see it that often.
Yeah.
So.
I didn't either.
I don't really remember any of it.
But I've had Little Priest going through my head pretty regularly for about 2 weeks now.
That's because you're working on a production of Sweeney Todd for the community theater.
But,
Which, you know, they don't eat they're not eating dragon in that one.
No,
I think
they're
I'd rather
people.
Eat dragon. Again, I think I would rather eat dragon.
Bummer.
Oh, rattlesnake's pretty good. But,
I've heard it tastes like chicken.
Bummer. Pete's Dragon is not streaming, so we can't review it.
Dang.
That sucks.
And I love the priest, or the monk, though. That's even bigger than the last one.
I think it's about the same size.
Yeah.
I love the look on Dennis Quaid's face when he says that, too.
Yeah. Where he's really shocked about the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
a little confused.
Yeah. But I do like, you know, they end up having to make a run for it, because they get caught in their con.
Mm-hmm.
And the dragon, you know, Draco, or Drake, or whatever his name is.
Draco
comes out, and he picks them up with the horse, for the record.
Yeah, and where do you find a horse that can carry three people? Because I want one of those.
Exactly. That was one of my thoughts,
logically,
too.
It can't, and still be able to run.
Yeah, well, yeah. Although the dragon does never run, but still he expected it to carry three people.
Yeah.
At least far enough to escape from those guys.
But, anyway, the dragon takes off with all of them.
I do have one question, though.
Hmm.
In all the stories and movies we've watched, dragons are supposed to be scary. In fact, in a few of the stories I've read, dragons give heart attacks to animals.
Yeah.
If they were to come close enough. How come that horse didn't die?
Well, that horse was freaking out when you see him after Draco picks him up. You see the horse kicking like crazy.
Yes, but you still see him later in the movie, so how come the horse didn't die?
Yeah, the horse has been around.
I mean, you get picked up by a dragon and flown through the air, and you're used to having four hooves on the ground.
Yeah. Well, although the horse had been around around dragons quite a bit, and had been around this dragon specifically for a while.
Well, who do you think was freaking out worse, the horse or the monk?
I don't know, but can we continue this conversation on the ground?
Yeah. I just like the monks, though, screaming, "We're all going to die." And
flying.
Well, my first thought when he screams this...
Mm-hmm.
My first thought was the scene from the Beavis and Butthead movie. And in fact, I changed his name from Brother Bless You to Brother Beavis at this point.
Oh, dear.
When he turns around, when they take off in the airplane, and Beavis looks out the window and goes, "We're all gonna die!"
I never saw the movie.
Oh,
I wasn't a big fan of Beavis and Butthead.
Neither was I, but the movie was actually pretty funny. Mm-hmm. But, and then after that, they go to visit Avalon.
But how many times have we actually heard that when somebody's in the air? We're all gonna die.
Yep.
I think that would be a common trope there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then we get to see Avalon.
We get to see Avalon. And I actually liked Avalon.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
I liked that scene.
Now, what I'm trying to figure out, in the story, in Lamort de Arthur, Avalon was an island.
Uh-huh.
Now, there were no particular geographic markers in the movie that I could tell.
Mm-hmm.
to make this an island. It was just kind of a...
Well, you see the coast. I mean, you see the ocean.
You can't see the coast, but you can also see the landline beside the coast.
Yeah, well, the
it looked like a bridge.
The angle that you're at makes it look like an isthmus, but, you know, that could just be that, you know, you're cutting off part of the island.
Maybe. But other than that, I mean, the ruins and all that, I just really loved the way that they portrayed Avalon in this movie.
I did too, except for the fact that, you know, according to Arthurian legend, Arthur's not actually dead, and they clearly show his ghost here.
Yeah.
They not only show his ghost, they show what you assume to be his,
tomb.
Okay, it's been a while since I read Lamort de Arthur, but I seem to distinctly remember him dying.
No, he was near death. Mordred dealt him a fatal blow, but he was taken.
That's right, and that's
he was
why
taken to Avalon and basically held in suspended animation until he could return.
Until they could find the, that thing, the cup,
the Grail,
Thank you.
I never liked the Grail portions of the Arthurian legend. I always thought those sounded kind of tacked on.
Well, okay, so then you get the dragon's whole dragon heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, you know, the movie, at this point I had liked most of it. You know, it had its downfalls. I hated the dragon backstory.
You didn't like the whole dragon heaven thing?
No, I hated it. I absolutely hated it. It was like, let's take, you know, certain aspects of these different religions and smush them together without really giving them any streamline.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I didn't especially like it, but I didn't especially hate it. I thought it worked for the device that they were using it for.
See, in my notes I have this whole backstory is cheap.
It kind of is.
Yeah. But that's when... Go ahead.
It's one of those movies where they have the movie that they want... They have the story that they want to tell and the characters that they want to tell... That they want to use to help tell it. And they make just enough backstory... Or they invent just enough backstory for the actions to make sense. But the backstory isn't entirely very well thought out or researched. It's simply created as a device to give the characters a reason to act the way they do.
The key word you're looking for there is invented.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's just a straight storytelling device. It's not a particularly good one. Mm-hmm. The best way to do it is to take a well thought out backstory and figure out and see how the characters would act based on it.
Fair enough.
You build it the other way around, it works a little better, but...
But the whole point of all of this Avalon scene is to make Bowen wake up and become a hero.
Yeah, it's basically to give him hope again.
Yeah. And so he goes off after...
Oh, the dragon talking didn't help.
Mm.
Seeing a ghost does. How does that work?
It was the fact that it was Arthur, I think, is what it was supposed to be. It was kind of rushed, but I think that's what they were trying to go for. Again, it was one of those things that I didn't particularly care for. I just went with it. I was like, okay, so he had a change of heart because of this experience, even though I don't exactly understand why this experience in particular gave him a change of heart.
Yeah, I didn't understand why he had the change of heart. I mean, a dragon talked to him. And then a ghost talked to him.
Yeah.
And the ghost is what changed his mind? Mm. Actually, the dragon didn't say anything when he came back. He just put his wing over him to shield him from the rain.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was actually, like, if I could get that screen clip to put as my background on my computer, it would be awesome.
That would be pretty cool.
That was a great, I mean, if nothing else
that
about
shot
this movie,
was cool.
If nothing else about this movie, I want to praise the director of photography.
Yeah.
Because he or she did an awesome job.
Yeah.
But then he goes and he tries to raise his army.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing about this scene did I particularly like, because I thought it was all kind of cliche, with exception of the monk's archery training.
Yeah.
That was great.
That was hilarious.
That was
two shots. Both of them fatal.
Well, one of them fatal and one of them painful.
That was possible.
Well, no, you can bleed from you can bleed out from getting shot from where he got shot the second time.
Yeah, maybe. I don't think you're going to bleed out from a shot to the nuts, but you're definitely not going to be fighting anymore with an arrow sticking out.
Yeah, you're definitely done for the day or the month or, you know.
Well,
anyway.
Or forever, you know,
yeah.
Depending on how well you're taken care of.
But after all of this goes on with the training montage thing, you get the King Einan with his military council. And the one thing about this is he gets mad at Ratface, what's his name? Jason Isaacs.
Oh, yeah.
He does. In this movie, he looks like he's got a rat's face.
But, by the way, director of photography.
He kind of reminds me of a rat.
Director of photography, David Egbie.
David Egbie. Okay, I'm going to have to remember that because I want to see some more of his stuff.
He did Pitch Black, actually.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I just clicked on him. He did Pitch Black, Eurotrip, Mad Max, and the new Scooby-Doo movie. Well, the first,
wow.
The 2002 one. But, yeah, those are his known fours.
I've seen four of those movies.
Mm. And the Tommyknockers.
Five of those movies.
So
it's been a few years since I've seen, you know, Tommyknockers.
So, yeah.
I was 15.
We will give him props. We'll give him all kinds of props because he's always good.
But in the military council scene, he gets mad at Ratface and he like slams his head against the table.
Mm-hmm.
My first thought when I see this is, so when he gets mad, he makes his military council give him a BJ. The entire scene, that's what it, like, if you walked in on the movie at that particular point, you'd wonder why he was getting a BJ in front of his military council.
Yeah.
And then you realize.
You would wonder why he's getting a BJ in front of a bunch of guys, period.
Yeah.
Rod, you're confusing this movie, you're confusing Dragonheart and Braveheart. Two completely different princes in these movies.
Oh, wow, I'd forgotten.
What I have written at this point for my notes, what I have written down is New Shield, Finest Dragon Slayers. Ha!
Wait. Although I would point out that the prince in Braveheart and the king in King Einan in Dragonheart, not all that dissimilar of characters.
No.
Not terribly.
Really not. But he makes out his military plan, and this really kind of went to my point of the whole BJ scene and all that. He actually says, and I had to listen to this twice, this I rewound, just to make sure this was what he said. But he actually says, let's shave them like the sheep they are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he does say that.
What the fuck does that mean?
It means he's going to completely cut them down.
That would have been more threatening.
He thinks of the peasants as sheep.
No, I get that. I just... let's shave them like the sheep they are.
Yeah. It made sense to me.
See, to me, it just didn't. It didn't sound threatening at all. In fact, it sounded a little plush.
Mm.
But, it's definitely, I'm going to cut your heart out with a spoon.
No, teacup.
Why a spoon, brother? Why not an axe?
Because it's dull, you twit. It'll hurt more. Oh,
there's another movie we got to add to our list.
Definitely. I wish it was on streaming. It's not.
Is it not?
No.
Ah.
I know. But anyways. Right.
Yeah, so, and then we get Mom Hires the Dragon Slayers.
Yeah.
Go, Mom.
Yeah, but she calls them the finest dragon slayers in the world.
You know what?
I could have done a better job than them.
Okay, these guys represent an important plot point near the end of the movie in the third act, right?
Mm-hmm.
They are only named in the novelization. They're not even actually named in the original script.
Oh, yeah?
They're only named in the novelization, and none of the actors nor the characters are in the credits.
Hmm.
Weird.
Interesting. Huh? Yeah.
But anyway. Yeah, they hire the Dragon Slayers, which I have to agree with Lisa on this. These are the worst Dragon Slayers ever.
Yeah,
I mean, during the battle, it's like...
What were they supposed to be, the comic relief?
Well, they were supposed to be the big bad dragon hunters, and they pretty much just got outthought and outplayed by Draco.
And Bowen, but the point being made is they killed themselves more than they killed...
Yeah.
I mean,
well,
it really did feel like watching an episode of Three Stooges at this point.
Yeah, it kind of was.
One hangs himself from his own javelin thrower?
Yeah. I mean, he got bad.
Mm.
But anyways. I love the fact...
Yeah, all I could think was comic relief.
And I love the fact that during the battle, the monk gets a clear shot at the king. And did anybody catch what he says right before shooting the king in the heart?
Yes,
thou shalt not kill.
Because he kept muttering proverbs and commandments.
Yeah.
Turn the other cheek, brother. Although I do have to point out.
Pride goeth before a fall.
Yeah. I do have to point out that before that part,
mm-hmm.
we get your classic Return of the Jedi point. They're all chasing the peasants through the woods, and then, ooh, where's Admiral Akbar? It's a trap!
It's a trap!
Even I had to note at this point, I don't care who you are, I don't care how big and bad you are, you do not follow the peasants through the woods. They know them better than you do.
Mm-hmm. And I just got to point out that I kept expecting to see a big red-headed fish guy go, we can't take on peasants of that magnitude.
Oh, that's
terrible. I kept expecting to hear somebody say that was too close.
But... back into the castle, you know, it cuts back and forth. And back into the castle, you've got the fight between Dina Meyer and Brian Thompson, which I cannot believe we've not made a point of talking about Brian Thompson through this whole episode so far.
Which one? Oh, he was the big...
He played Brock, or as I called him in my notes, Bluto.
That's the guy. That was the big guy with the hawks and the beard, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I call him the Hunter.
In Mortal Kombat Annihilation, he played the Emperor. Shao Kahn.
Oh, yeah, he played one of the Terminator units.
He did.
In the original Terminator.
Did he?
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't realize that.
He's known for his Terminator.
Huh.
Terminator, Dragonheart, Cobra, and Mortal Kombat Annihilation. Let me double check, but I'm pretty sure. Oh, yeah, he played the Judge in Buffy.
Yeah. He played two parts in Buffy, actually.
He played Luke and the Judge.
Yeah.
I
did not realize he was in Cobra. He plays in so many things. And yet again, one of those, oh yeah, it's that guy. But,
well, he always looks different, too.
I know. That's true.
What year was Terminator again?
80s?
84. There we go. Now I can scroll down and find it. 84. Oh, no, he's just listed as Punk in the Terminator.
Oh yeah, he was him and what's his name? The guy that looks kind of like Dennis Quaid played in Twister.
No idea.
I'll look it up real quick.
Oh yeah, and he was the alien bounty hunter from the X-Files. That's where I really remember him from.
Okay.
Yeah, you wouldn't remember him from that because you never watched X-Files.
I never watched X-Files. I enjoyed what
I
saw of it. I couldn't keep watching it. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Bill Paxton was one of the punks also.
Oh, okay.
He was the punk leader. But yeah, I remember him now.
Carl, I had things like work getting in the way of keeping up with, you know, X-Files.
And one of these days I'm going to go back and watch it. It's all on streaming, so we'll have to watch it.
Oh, no, here's a piece of trivia I just found that I don't think is actually in the IMDb trivia. Okay, you remember... do you remember when they first start doing... I'm going to back up a bit. When they first start doing the con... And they go to pull it on, Jason Isaacs' character for the first time. And, you start out in that field scene and the little boy looks up and goes, look, Dad! And points at the dragon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That little boy is the director's son.
Ah.
Kyle.
Ooh.
It's Kyle Cole.
Oh.
Nice.
Yeah. He's listed in the cast. I just happened to see it. As I was glancing down, I see Kyle Cohen, boy in field. I click on it, and I'm like, yep, that's his son.
Nice.
Yeah, I remember that part because that was the part where the dragon was telling people to get out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
We also have the death of Lord Ratface in the last battle.
Yep.
Which was actually a really good death for him. And that's one thing I will give this guy. Like, every time he's died in a movie, he has great death scenes.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like Liam Neeson.
He had a great death scene in Harry Potter.
I never saw it. But he's just like Liam Neeson. Though. Every time he dies, every time he dies, he has a great death scene. He's good at dying. Which, in Hollywood, that is
a compliment.
Well,
then you would enjoy watching him die in Harry Potter.
Probably.
Oh, yeah, I do now. I was going to say, I don't remember his death scene from Harry Potter, but now I do.
But,
I'd forgotten about
and
that.
And then Tina Meyer kills Bluto.
Yeah.
That's great.
Oh, it was great.
That's great. And a little bit of a goof.
How did she kill him?
With an axe.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't give
me. He's like, here, girl, let me cut this down to size for you.
That's right, because I have it in my notes. That scene started out, and my note said, what did he want to cut down to size?
Yeah.
Because I just saw her pick something up. I didn't see what it was.
It was one of the Dragon Slayer's axes.
Yeah.
Oh.
But,
Which, I will give him this. That thing was almost as big as she was.
And speaking of the dragon hunters again, okay, so we're out in the, they're out in the woods, or all the king and his knights are out in the woods getting ambushed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Brother Gilbert shoots the king in the heart. Mm-hmm. Draco, feels the, pain of the arrow and falls out of the sky and lands in the castle, and all the living dragon hunters converge on him. Why do they start chaining him up instead of just killing him while he's laying there, stunned?
That's something I'm kind of curious about, too. Unless maybe somewhere off camera the king was supposed to have told them not to kill him, but then he does come up and say, don't kill him.
Yeah, he didn't know it until he didn't know about it.
What
until
if the mother told them not to kill him?
No, the mother hired them specifically to kill Draco because she wanted her son dead.
Yeah.
So it's one of those little plot holes that you know, you only notice the second or third time through the movie, really. Or if you're really looking for
I would get third time because I didn't really notice it, and this is my second time.
Yeah. But you know, they go back in and save Draco.
Mm-hmm. Well, they go back in to save Draco.
Yeah, to save Draco. And Draco wants him to stab him as a friend and all that. But what I like about this scene is he looks at it and he goes, strike now, please.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. You know, Draco's being polite even when he's about to die and knows he's about to die. But does that just seem a little weird to y'all? I mean, it just kind of was weird to me.
No, not really, because he's begging. He's like, please, strike now.
I guess it's just Sean Connery.
Most people who are begging would say please first, not last.
Well, or,
politeness is last.
It's one of those things. It's like strike now, please strike now.
Yeah. At this point, I'm trying to remember a single scene in which I've seen Sean Connery beg, and I'm starting to think that he just is not capable of that.
It doesn't happen with his characters very often.
No.
It does happen occasionally, but. Again,
name
Sean
one.
Connery. I can't off the top of my head.
Yeah, I can't either.
I think possibly at some point during The Rock, but I'm not sure.
He didn't die in The Rock.
No, but I'm saying at some point I think he begged, but I can't remember for sure.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that, kind of. But it was more like just a with his eyes thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, keep going.
Then we've got, you know, Draco's final words where he inspires space travel or possibly astrology, I'm not sure which.
Oh, before that, you have the slow motion.
Or a little bit of both.
Yeah.
And I actually put in my notes slow motion, really?
Slow motion.
Because you got the king running at him in slow motion, and then you got Bowen deciding whether or not to kill Draco, and him trying to kill Draco. And this is all in slow motion, and it's like, okay, guys.
Eh.
This was unnecessary.
I don't mind slow motion in, you know, at pivotal points. It's when it's overused.
Yeah.
And using it just this once, this is the only time they use it in the movie, so it didn't bother me.
See, to me, it's like the one point that it didn't need to be used at all. Because I think doing it quicker would have been a little bit more effective. But maybe that's just me being jaded by modern movie techniques versus the 90s movie techniques, you know.
Yeah, I think that's probably it. Because that would be done differently. Actually, now it would be done not in slow motion, but as a rapid series of stills.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Or something similar to that.
That's fine. But he inspires the astrology and, you know, gives his last words as he's turning into this weird glowy dust cloud. And my only thing is, this glowy ash, is this safe to breathe? I mean, are we going to snort some dragon
dust?
Well,
you did notice the group backed up a little bit, right?
That's true. And how high would you get from, you know, snorting dragon dust?
From snorting dragon soul? Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways.
I don't know, but I think it cures colds.
Oh, there you go. There you go.
Again, Pete's Dragon. Ask your parents.
Yeah.
Probably.
More depending. And if you have to go
all the way... Oh, I don't
want to
hear it, kid.
If you have to go all the way back to asking your grandparents, you really do not need to be listening to this show. Turn it off. Never listen to us again.
You're not old enough to... Yeah, come back to us in a couple of years.
Exactly. And then you got my last note. They play this
God's
song.
God's closer to being about the right age.
In 1977 with Pete's Dragon. So, yeah, ask your parents.
Yeah. But then you got the ending song, you know, and you see him appear in lights. And my only thought is, wow, the audio at this point is really bad.
I didn't notice.
You didn't know? The song's playing, and it was so flat, and it was obviously, tape-tracked. And, it's the 90s, so it's acceptable, but it was just really grating on me. And I guess a lot of it's because I've been spending a lot of time in the editing booth lately.
Too much time editing bad music? Yeah, I get that.
Exactly. And so I just like, oh, this is terrible. But anyway, on to Best Buffed.
Go listen to some opera. You'll be fine.
That sounds like a good idea.
I will give this best movie featuring a dragon pre-2000.
Christian Bale and Reign of Fire wasn't good enough for you.
Reign of Fire was
later
2000.
Making fun of that movie.
But actually, the dragons in that movie were good.
Yeah, they were. I'll give you
that. I definitely give Dragonheart best 20th century dragon.
Okay. What about you, Lise?
I give it best use of astrology.
And that's only because of my comment?
No, actually, I was thinking of after they did the glowy thing, they actually show a dragon in the sky with the stars.
Oh, okay. You're talking about best use of astronomy? Not astrology.
Astronomy. Yeah.
Astronomy is the science of stars. Astrology is how they affect people. It's the...
Oh, yeah.
Well...
Oops. Yeah. Sorry about that.
It's okay. I get them mixed up myself a lot. Fair enough. Any others?
Best comic relief for bad guys.
Yeah, they really
were. And I am
referring
to the dragon hunters at the end.
See, to me, you've got, my Three Stooges comment earlier, but you've got the prince, the, Bluto, and Lord Ratface.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking Three Stooges again.
Kinda, yeah. Brother Gilbert may have been the intentional comic relief, and he was great at it, but...
All the villains made good comic relief.
Yeah, all of the villains were kinda comical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, for my best buffed, I gave it the Hey, I Know That Guy award.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Because there were so many people in here that's like, I know that guy. And I probably spent more time on IMDb during this movie than I have watching any other movie, trying to figure out where I knew these people from.
Yeah, and for a movie with, you know, a cast list of, like, what, 15 or 16, it looks like, on here?
Yeah, not very many.
Yeah, you end up with a ton of people who either were big or became big afterwards.
Yeah. Most of which were the latter. But, and I also gave it the Charming Lizard Award.
Yeah.
Because that is the most charming dragon ever. Thank you, Sean Connery. Thank you, and God bless you.
Yeah. And Sean Connery is one of the three people in the world that I can think of off the top of my head who I could listen to read the phone book, seriously.
I agree. The other being Morgan Freeman. Who's the third?
Oh, four, because I wasn't thinking of Morgan Freeman. Morgan Freeman, Sean Connery, Scott Fletcher, and Philippa Ballantyne. I could listen to any of them read the phone book, seriously.
I got to go with, oh great, now I'm not going to be able to remember his name, and I feel really bad about it, because he's such a great author, and a great, audiobook narrator.
You're not thinking of Sigler, are you?
No, I'm thinking of the Quarter Share series.
Oh, Nathan Lowell.
Yes,
that one I agree with on you too.
Yeah.
Got a great voice.
Yeah, Nathan Lowell can say anything. Nathan Lowell could read the Bible to me backwards and I could listen to it and enjoy it.
But okay, now that we're done praising Nathan, we move on to buff quotes.
Well, mine we've already mentioned.
Well, Carl, since we've already mentioned yours, do you want to start us off?
Sure. I merely chewed in self-defense, but I never swallowed.
Lisa?
Mind if I sit down? I don't have your energy.
That does sound like something you would say.
When was that?
That was in the first scene. Opening scene.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I've got... and it kind of, my favorite quote doesn't quite work without it, so I'm going to go ahead and tell you what the prince says. The prince says, the peasants are revolting. And then Bluto turns around and goes, they've always been revolting, prince, but now they're rebelling.
Until you said it just now, I didn't actually catch the double entendre there.
Did you not?
No, I don't think I never really noticed it.
That's what cracked me up about that. Anyway, where are you playing with your Willy? Lisa, you want to start us off?
Why did the Dragon Slayer serve the father?
For the sake of the son.
Carl, you're right.
God, I didn't even get a chance to open my mouth. Although I would have been wrong, because I was going to say because he swore an oath. But technically, that would have been right, too.
Yep, he did.
Technically, yes, but his exact words were, for the sake of the son.
I serve the father for the sake of the son.
Fair enough. Okay.
What did Bluto say to the hawk just before he found the peasants the second time they revolted? No.
I don't know. I vaguely remember him saying something, but I don't know what it was.
I barely caught it.
What was it?
I didn't catch it at all.
Rod, you know?
No, I don't.
Eat.
Okay. Carl?
Okay, how many stars in the Draco constellation at the end of the movie?
7.
Before or after Draco gets to it?
Well, after Draco gets to it and they show, they do the whole supernova thing and then it goes back to just stars. How many stars are in the constellation?
I'm going to go with 9.
What'd you say, Rod?
I didn't 7. Actually count.
Yeah, 16.
Was there 16? I didn't actually.
There's 16 stars in that constellation.
Wow.
And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I didn't go back and double check, but I think originally it's 15, and then when Draco goes up there and it reforms again, there's an extra star in the constellation.
Okay.
And which of Sir Eglamour's arms is in Draco's mouth?
The left.
Right.
Lisa got it. I had to go back and double check because at one point it looks like it's the left, but I went back and re-looked and it's the right.
It was where the thumb was.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I just have to point out that y'all are always asking the right and left question.
That's
somebody
me.
Always asks the right and left question. Usually,
yeah, I do.
Yeah. and I have a problem with turning things around in my memory, which is why I always get these wrong.
Yeah,
because I'll see it and I turn it around in my memory.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyway,
I never ask them because I know there are people who can't do that. Yeah. I didn't know that you were one of them, Rod. But
Okay, so what's our score?
Right now, Lisa's got one, and you've got one.
Okay.
And I have none, and I'm going into my question. So I'm going to lose again, because I'd never win.
I guess you were playing with your willy.
Seriously, I got to start dating so I can stop playing with my willy.
Yeah.
Okay, according to Bowen in the first scene, no one ever found victory where?
In the dirt.
Yep. That's Carl's.
I'll have to give Carl that one because I didn't know it.
What was the name of the dragon killed first by Bowen?
The scarred one.
That's also Carl's.
I thought it was Scarlet.
No, the scarred one is what Draco calls her.
Okay, and for bonus points, just because I wrote it down just in case somebody picked my questions, what does Bowen take as a trophy after killing the scarred one?
A tooth, isn't it?
Yep, dragon tooth, which for the record changes shape 4 times during that scene.
Really?
Yeah, as a goof. Oh,
weird.
Oh, it's there was a, I mentioned to you guys before we started recording that there was a blooper that I caught.
Oh, yeah.
In the scene where we mentioned how the king was actually trying to kill the dragon hunter, he stabs the dragon hunter, pulls back, there's a little bit of blood, it goes off camera, you see it again, no blood.
Oh, on the sword?
On the sword.
Yeah.
And I caught it, but I wasn't trying to catch bloopers.
Yeah.
But that was just an obvious one in my face kind of thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't think I ever really noticed.
Mental debuff. Lisa, you want to start?
Well, if you like comedy and you have 2 hours, I would seriously recommend Dragonheart. Sorry, I almost called it Braveheart for a second there.
I did that a lot.
That's more than 2 hours.
That's true.
Yeah, that is more than 2 hours.
So now that I think about it, she said when you like comedy, and this just popped into my head. You know, I remember watching this as a kid. Now, was this specifically marketed to kids?
It was a family movie.
Was it a family? Okay.
What was the rating on it? Whoops, I'm on the wrong page.
I don't remember.
PG-13, I think.
Yep, PG-13.
Hmm.
For action and violence.
Okay.
But,
and there wasn't a whole lot of violence.
Carl, mental debuff?
Because they kind of...
Oh, sorry.
I got to go with... I got to say it's probably one of the best fantasy movies. You know, just straight out-and-out fantasy movies I've seen. It definitely holds up the best. You know, it's been... What is this? 10, 16 years later, and it's still good.
Yeah.
So, seriously, it came out...
It came out in 96.
Wow.
Yeah.
A year before I was married the first time.
I was in a sophomore in high school when this movie came out. Well, no, I was finishing up my freshman year of high school when this came out.
I was like in something fourth like or fifth that. Grade.
Yeah, I'm a little older than Carl.
No, I'm wrong. I was finishing up my sophomore year, so. Because it was May of 96. But yeah, 16 years ago.
Yeah, I was finishing up my...
We're old. Let's just go with it.
Yeah.
I was finishing up my junior year.
But, yeah, it's as far as fantasy movies go, this one definitely holds up.
Hmm.
It's, to me, it's better than, you know, 90% of even, you know, the fantasy. It's better than at least 90% of the fantasy movies that have come out since. Almost all of the fantasy movies that have come out since, I think.
Just remember, Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings have come out since.
Yeah, so, I know. Yeah, it's definitely better than that. I'm thinking, and the only ones that are coming to mind are The Lord of the Rings and Aragorn, which Aragorn was a decent movie, but it was a 2-hour synopsis of the book.
Yeah.
Which really needed, that one really needed to be, you know, expanded a little bit. That should have been a miniseries, probably, not a movie.
Okay.
So.
See, I still haven't seen the movie, but I haven't read the books either, to be honest.
Yeah.
I really want to. I just never got around to it.
Read the books, then watch the movie.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Or read the book and then watch the movie.
I did it backwards. I watched the movie and then I read the books. And you really got to read the books and then watch the movie.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Okay. So it's my turn for mental debuff. I am torn in two by this movie. There were times in it where I felt like it was as good as a blowjob. And there were parts where I felt like I'd rather be ass-rammed by a rhino.
Do I need to draw attention to the fact that you were torn in two by this movie, kind of like Sean Connery's heart?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Dragonheart has everything from gold to goat shit. Personally, the only two things I know for sure about this movie is Sean Connery cannot play a character that doesn't sound like he's fucking three supermodels on a regular basis, even when he's a giant lizard. And this movie just seems like it needs to be a drinking game.
Yeah, okay.
Am I the only one who, when Rod said that it has everything from, that I thought it even had attempted cannibalism?
Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah. And as much as I highly recommend this movie, I will also recommend its sequel with the stipulation that the sequel contains, you know, it contains a sequel's worth of cheese added on top of, you know, as good as this movie is. Slightly cheesier than this movie, but still not completely terrible.
Is this movie like one of those that wasn't supposed to be as chock full of comic relief, and then the second one was supposed to be that way?
No, it's not that. It's this movie wasn't intended to have a sequel, but they ended up making one anyway. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of, and because of that, it's kind of a little cheesier.
Fair enough.
Just like every other sequel to any movie that wasn't supposed to have one.
Scream.
Good example.
Yeah.
But anyway, ladies.
Friday the 13th.
All right. Well, let's wrap this one up and get ready for next week's. Which,
ladies and gentlemen, that's Dragonheart in the buff.
Next week, we've got our special guest.
Yep. Join us next week. We're taking on So I Married an Axe Murderer in the buff.
Yeah. At the request of our special guest co-host, James Iagovos Bartholomew from the Initiative Check podcast.
Yep.
He's going to be helping us rip that thing apart. And, you know, we asked him what movie he wanted to do and couldn't do his first choice. So this was his second, but he says he loves this movie. So. This ought to be interesting. I haven't seen it that I remember, that I recall. Have you guys?
I saw it a long time ago.
I have seen bits and pieces of it.
Okay.
But we haven't done a Mike Myers movie yet, so this is kind of a good thing.
Yeah.
And at least it's not an Austin Powers.
And it's one of the best Mike Myers movies.
Yeah.
But, I never really did appreciate Austin Powers.
Well, I'd much rather do if we're going to do Mike Myers movies, I'd so much rather do So I Married an Axe Murderer than, you know, like one of the Halloweens.
That too.
Oh, that was bad. That was bad. At that, I'm going to say, keep watching those movies in the buff because you know it's just better that way. And good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Hello, Buffers. It's your favorite host. I'm taking a second to let you know you can find us on Facebook and Google+, and have some absolutely naughty conversations with your other buffers. And as always, if you need to talk or flirt with our team of debauchery, you can email us at inthebufffilms@gmail.com. That's 3 Fs. Trust me, we love to talk to our fans, especially the good-looking ones. Movies in the Buff was recorded with Creative Commons, Attribution Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 3.0 U.S. License.